our freedom, our prosperity, our luxury, they all result from fossil fuels. Ours are the most fortunate generations that have ever lived. Ours are also the most fortunate generations that ever will. Now, we've heard something about the sort of cuts which people would like to see. I'm not interested in cuts that people would like to see. I'm interested in the cuts that science tells us are necessary. And those cuts do not equate to 20% of our current carbon use by 2020. They do not equate to 60% of our current carbon use by 2050. No one will thank me for saying this, but the science is now unequivocal. We need a 90% cut by 2030. That is the only way we have of preventing this whole thing, this whole edifice balanced on a ball, from crashing down around us. And the reason for that is clear. If we do not cut carbon by 90% by 2030, then carbon emissions in the atmosphere reach 430 parts per million. And that is the point at which, unequivocally, most of the world's major ecosystems go into positive feedback. The biosphere becomes a net source of carbon dioxide. And then the game is out of our hands. It has got nothing to do with us anymore, because there's nothing we can do to stop it. The ecosystems upon which we have relied to absorb carbon dioxide, they start producing it. We have 25 years, ladies and gentlemen, in which to act, and not just to act a little bit. We have 25 years in which to cut carbon emissions throughout our economy, the developed world economy, by 90%. Now, there are some people who believe that this can be done by replacing the fossil fuels on which this great tottering pile has been built, entirely with ambient sources of energy. And that, I'm afraid, is in the realm of science fiction. The only way in which the sort of cut that I am talking about can be brought about is through a massive cut in the amount of energy we use. We are talking not just about changing the fact that we can go fly off for 39 quid to Seville for a weekend. We are talking about changing the very basis of the way in which you and I and all of us live.
Yeah.
If this problem could be solved by slagging off George Bush, we would have solved it by now. But the problem does not stop with him. The problem does not stop with the US. The problem does not stop with our own government. The problem does not stop with those other people who are flying and driving and leaving their windows open while our heating is on. The problem also stops with every one of us. But this fight, this unique historical fight at this unique historical moment, a historical moment, an interlude between ecological constraint and ecological catastrophe, this interlude in which the most fortunate generations ever live, requires an extraordinary effort of confronting everything. I just want to leave you with this one thought. We are not just fighting against George Bush, but we are fighting against George Bush. We are not just fighting against the United States, but we are fighting against the United States. We are not just fighting against Tony Blair, but we are fighting against Tony Blair. But the biggest fight of all, in which we are engaged, is not a fight against the US, Tony Blair, or anyone else. It is a fight against what we have become. It is a fight against our own inherent tendencies to desire and consume and grab more and more and more. The biggest fight of our lives, ladies and gentlemen, The biggest fight of our lives is not out there. It is in here. Yeah. Thank you very much.